Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text is the Matthew 26, 26 through 29. Let me reread that. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing and it broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Here ends our reading. We've spent a lot of time over our Lenten series this year reflecting on the phrase, "for us," as the hymn kept repeating that refrain, "for us." In the Holy Gospel, our Lord gives us an insight on how we know that all of His work is really for us. We do this by looking at the words from Jesus here, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." You see, the events of the Holy Gospel take place during the night before His betrayal. He has gathered in the upper room to share one last meal with the disciples, with His closest friends, His confidants, and He is celebrating the Passover, the night when the angel of death visited the firstborn of Egypt, as you might remember, as God saved His people Israel with His mighty hand after He had sent 10 plagues upon Egypt. And as I've learned, you don't take anything for granted, so let's just review briefly here the 10 plagues. You remember the first plague, the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, and they turned the water to blood. But then the magicians of Pharaoh were able to repeat that feat. And so Pharaoh wasn't persuaded in any real shape or form to do anything for the children of Israel. Then the Lord decided, well, let's send some frogs. And so there were frogs everywhere in Egypt, but none where Israel was camped. But it wasn't enough. Pharaoh didn't relent. His heart was hardened. So then the Lord sent gnats. Now, if He'd have sent the frogs after the gnats, that might have been okay, but this order is really frustrating because now they have gnats swarming on everything, and again, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Then the plague of flies. Again, the frogs could have taken care of it, but they're gone. And at this point, with all the flies, Pharaoh agrees to let the people go and worship the Lord. So Moses agrees to plead on behalf of Pharaoh, and the flies go away, and then Pharaoh hardens his heart and says, "Now I change my mind." It's kind of like working out a peace agreement. Then we have the fifth plague, which was the death of the Egyptians' livestock. But his heart was hardened, and he refused to let the people go. He just kept growing harder and harder, his heart. So then the sixth plague was boils. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart at this point and would not allow the people to go. The seventh plague was hail. And again, Pharaoh agreed and then changed his mind. And then his heart grew harder against Israel. The eighth plague, locust. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And after the Lord removed the locust from the land, Pharaoh could have cared less. The ninth plague was darkness. Can you imagine Egypt dark, where Israel staying sunlight? That had to be kind of scary. But again, Pharaoh After agreeing to let them go, changes his mind, and God hardens his heart still more. Because all along, God planned on the 10th plague. The death of the firstborn. This is known as Passover, as the angel of death passed over those whose houses were covered with the blood of the Lamb, right, on the door frames. And the Passover was celebrated then each year as a reminder, yet more than a reminder. It bound the people of Israel to that night so many years ago that the cost was great. And the Lord kept his people safe from Egypt, even taking them through the Red Sea on dry ground. But on this Holy Thursday night, the cost is even greater. Jesus gathers his disciples, the ones whom he loves, to have a meal with them. But this night is not another celebration of the Passover, another remembrance of how God had taken care of them before. Tonight is something altogether new. When Jesus gives his disciples the bread and the cup, it becomes clear that he is giving them something different, something, well, more. It is not just bread and wine that he gives them, but his very body and blood, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. In giving them his very body and blood to eat and to drink, Jesus makes clear that his life will be sacrificed for our sins and for the sins of the entire world. He is not then just another rabbi, another string of teachers peddling their wares in the face of Roman oppression. No, he is, as his cousin had declared so earlier, 3 years earlier to be exact, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But why does the text say for many and not for everyone or even for you? The point of the text saying for many is to highlight that Jesus' sacrifice is not for a select few, but for many. The point isn't that he excludes anyone. We know, for example, that God wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. No, it says, for many, so that you will know that you are part of this great work of the Lamb of God. So today, Jesus, for many, means for you. Tonight, Jesus gives himself in a way that is unlike anyone or anything else. No God gives his own flesh and blood for the salvation of the world. No God except, well, the God-man, Jesus the Christ, that is. So today we see the great work of our Lord as part of a greater story of God's work to redeem the world. In so doing, we see that our Lord's gift of himself was not a new thing. It was not new to the children of Israel. Far from it. This is what God had been doing from the very beginning. Think back for a moment to the Old Testament reading from Exodus that we had today. Moses took the sacrifice and put upon both the altar and the people the blood. He then took Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel up to Mount Sinai. And the text says, and they saw the God of Israel. He did not harm the elders, nor did he lay a hand upon them. The text continues to say, they beheld God and ate and drank. You see, to see God is to be holy. For only one who is holy and pure may enter into the presence of God. The sacrifice had been made. The blood had been sprinkled upon the people, including the elders. So when they entered the presence of God, they did so as the children of God, holy and beloved. So they ate and drank because they were at peace with God. Oh, how the unknowing prophet spoke rightly at Jesus' trial before Pilate, right? When they cried out, "Let Jesus' blood be upon us and our children." If only they knew how important that statement truly is. As our letter to the Hebrews says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus' blood was shed for you on the cross. The sacrifice that atoned, that is, paid for all our sins, has been made. You have been washed and made clean in the blood of the Lamb. In your baptism, the blood of Christ now covers you. In Him, you are a new creation born from above. As His forgiven children, we can stand then before the throne of God because His great work of salvation has been given to us. As we sang, "O Lord, we praise Thee," Luther's hymn for communion. Just think of what we sang in verse 2. Thy holy body into death was given, life to win for us in heaven. No greater love than this to Thee could bind us. May this feast thereof remind us, O Lord, have mercy. Lord, Thy kindness did so constrain Thee that Thy blood should bless and sustain me. All our debt Thou hast paid. Peace with God once more is made. O Lord, have mercy. So come today to the table of the Lord and receive His gifts, which only He can give. Rest assured that when He says given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, it means for you now and for all eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.